The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 yes, yes, master.
Why?
Oh, good morning, Basinonians. Yes, indeed. It is a Quasimodo Wednesday, is it not? Hump day, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever you do, go ahead and think of Quasimodo as you get ready to go down that hill into the weekend, right? Just don't do it on a two-man luge. Good morning, Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show, savages in the morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower. That is the Auction Community Studios. Good morning, Doug Lace.
Good morning. Strange apparel today.
What do you mean? You went with a collared shirt right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think I've got to do something today. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think
everybody woke up with that feeling.
At some point in time, I think I'm going to have to do something post-show. And whenever that happens, that means, you know, at least put a collar on. Just do something, put a collar on. Go with the stiff collar, drives you nuts. But at least it's short sleeve, so that helps.
Stiff collar, but then the nine-pocket shorts, right?
Yeah, of course. The cargo shorts. Somebody told me they were out of style. I was like, you're breaking my heart here. Honestly, watch me just continue to wear them. I could care less about style, apparently, right? And that's what I said, too, Basinonians. I could care less, all right, for you people out there. That's the way we say it in Western New York. I could care less, not I couldn't care less. You understand? Okay, good. So don't send me your emails, your texts, your tweets about the saying being I couldn't care less. What do they say in Ohio, by the way? I could care less or I couldn't care less?
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. There you
they
go.
They probably right just there. Say, who that? Cares? Let's go to Skyline Chili.
Okay, did you say that on the air right now? Did you say that on the air?
And there was no growl. Like, what do we have to do here, Bear?
What's going on, Bear? I don't know.
I want the growl.
My ear? Do you want to? Okay, now that's good. What did you say, Bear?
He was talking about Skyline. And nobody says that in the Cleveland area because since Skyline is a Cincinnati thing, Clevelanders get mad. And so they won't go anywhere near Skyline. I am from Dayton, which is basically nothing. I mean, nothing. And therefore, it's like, hey, I want to go to Skyline. However, I went to the D-backs game yesterday, and when I was leaving, I was walking down a ramp, and two guys, a father and a son, were there, and one was wearing a Goodyear t-shirt for Red Spring Training, and the other kid was wearing a Reds t-shirt. And I said, where are you guys from? And he said, Cincinnati. And I was rude. I said, no, you're not. Because you're not really from the city. You live somewhere else. And then there's an area of Cincinnati, don't be confused, called Wyoming. And he goes, we're from Wyoming. And then the young man said, yeah, but I grew up in Loveland. So I started talking because that's where my brother lives. And then he actually goes to a college, which is what we call right state, wrong school,
yeah.
Which is, I butchered the joke, because it's Right State, but it's just an atrocious college, and I'm sure somebody graduated from there, and you're going to tweet me and get all bent out of shape.
Yeah, right.
So I mocked the kid for going there, and he admitted he's miserable, and that was highly entertaining to me that I had known this kid for 8 seconds and knew. There's my story for the day.
You know, speaking of entertaining, ladies and gentlemen, right, have you seen this Hard Knocks thing? What exactly, is it still on HBO? Is that what it is, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
The Hard Knocks on HBO right here. Let me just say this. Beware what it is that you see on this, honestly, because cameras, they change people, do they not, Basinonians? We all know what it's like when somebody's even getting a picture, right? Somebody's taking a picture from your phone.
Number four.
It just totally changes you. It absolutely does. I mean, honestly, beware, ladies and gentlemen, of what you see on cameras, because as we all know,
four,
and coaches are not immune to this as well, Basinonians. Because they'll act out of character as well once a camera comes on. Isn't that right? And you know who you are.
Number four.
And also, I would say this as well, Jarvis Landry, you better be careful when you're sounding off, because it's not just Baker Mayfield that's going to be slid under the microscope here. Your entire franchise is slid under the microscope.
Number four.
And while I'm on it, the entertainment part of it, right?
You haven't started yet.
How about this right here? I mean, honestly, have you seen the Cleveland Browns? They've actually introduced a new slogan this summer, right? All over Northeast Ohio. The phrase is plastered all over the facility, the stadium, of course, and even certain hot spots, shall we say, through Northeast Ohio. And you know what the saying is? Football from the heartland, America. Football from the heartland, America. That's Cleveland, Ohio, right there.
Disgusting.
I absolutely love the fact that they're coming up with a slogan for the city. It kind of makes you want to come up with a slogan for Phoenix, does it not?
No.
It doesn't?
No.
Football from the heartland, America. I don't know why I went Richard Nixon there. Google it, my young Grugs. No.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
The strangest opening in the
history. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning is taking a look around the National League, and bad news, Dodgers a winner over Oakland 4-2, and right now the Diamondbacks are not in the playoffs with Milwaukee and Atlanta as the wild cards, Cubs, Phillies, and Dodgers as the division winners.
Remember, it's August, and they have to make hay in August.
They do, but also remember the Diamondbacks have Dequan, and you're not making hay with any of that.
Number four.
Number four this morning, you'll never guess what number four is.
Okay, number four.
It's Hard Knocks.
Oh, Hard Knocks.
Your hamstring ain't falling off the bone. Your leg ain't broke. I don't know. Like, you should be practicing. Like, straight up. Like, that is weakness. And that is contagious as
As Jarvis Landry takes over as the beginning of Hard Knocks in Browns camp, letting everybody know that unless there's something broken, you need to be out there practicing.
Football from the heartland, America.
And that's not how the speech ends.
Number three.
No, by the way, Hard Knocks looks to be fantastic, and I don't even have HBO, so I think I'm going to have to try to mooch from see if I can talk DirecTV into letting me have. You know, I've been thinking about anyway. Number three is looking ahead to today, 12:40 D-backs day game against the Phillies to take the series, and also give the Diamondbacks the tiebreaker against the Phillies in case they meet up in the playoffs to determine home field advantage. So it's today, day game, Patrick Corbin on the hill, and he's actually second in the National League in strikeouts. 12:40, and that game will be on ESPN 620 AM.
I hope he shows the guts, ladies and gentlemen, that Zach Greinke showed last night. Fight yourself and win.
Greinke was fine. There's other issues.
Number two.
Oh, there's issues, all right.
Number two this morning, Steve Wilks. And what's going to happen on Saturday?
I'm going to have a set number, but there's going to be a few guys with Sam, Larry, David, that's going to be in that mix that may not hit that peak number. We're going to probably pull them out a little sooner. So that's always the case. Wherever I've been, you know, it's been those guys. So we're going to do that.
My goodness, so many questions going into Saturday, and they start now on Quasimodo Wednesday. Isn't that right? Scouting reports on Cardinal players.
Number one.
The number one thing that you need to know about this morning is what happened yesterday to lead off the eighth inning. The Arizona Diamondbacks go Little League.
Here comes a throw by Souza, and he airmails it, and the runner's going to come in and score. That's going to be a Little League home run.
It is a term that has been in baseball forever. You get a home run because you circled the bases, yet you did nothing to earn it yourself.
Mm.
A Little League home run. And that's exactly what the Diamondbacks looked like yesterday.
On a bunt, no less.
You think we're upset about it? Huh. Let me tell you what happened after the game and what was told to me. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Good job, Bear, playing something that's got a little kick to it here. Because we need somebody to be happy around here.
This is kick?
I don't mean like angry kick. It's kind of like a happy kick. You know, hey.
I say a little giddy up.
Yeah. Here. A little happy flair to it. Full disclosure, I went to yesterday's game as a fan. A college buddy's in town. And he's a big baseball fan, so him and I went to the game together. And when you go to a game, I mean, I kept score, but when I go to a game as a fan, I really enjoy baseball. So yeah. I'm sitting there, and I'm enjoying the game. Greinke gives up the homers, walking guys left and right. It's kind of weird, but, you know, no big deal. It's 1-0. Hey, it's a good game. It's fun. I love being at the game, and when I'm sitting at home, I'm highly critical of everything. You know, why did you do this? Why did you do that? What's going on here? What, blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty laid back when I'm at the game. I'm having a good time. I love going to baseball games.
Yeah.
And then so when this eighth inning happens, to me, I'm sitting there and just thinking, boy, that's crappy. Little League home run. But I'm not like talk show host angry, you know? It's like, you know. But if I'm watching it at home, I'm losing my mind.
Mm.
I go walking down the tunnel after the game, and it would be rude for me to say who, but I saw two people, talked to both of them, and they are affiliated with the organization. That's all I want to say because I don't want to be rude to them. And I'm kind of in a good mood because even though I'm upset as a fan that we lost, and I say we as a fan because I love the D-backs, I'm not as critical yet because I haven't like done the research to be the talk show host today and stuff like that. And as I've always told you, from 6 to 10 in the morning, I'm much more critical than I am as a fan at other times. And so I made the terrible mistake of looking at one of them and saying, hey, how are you? Like in a happy type of, hey, I just got the chance to see a Major League Baseball game.
Right,
I'm happy.
Exactly.
And he says to me, let me get my little button right here because it'll be appropriate. He says to me,
six.
There you go. What do you mean, how am I? And I'm like, oh yeah. He goes, did you see that trash? And that was like, wow. I mean, that punched me in the face for just how big last night was.
Here's the pitch. And there's a bunt. Deepman fields, and he throws the first low, and he throws it away. And the runner's going to end up at third base. Well, maybe. Here comes a throw by Souza, and he airmails it. And the runner's going to come in and score. That's going to be a Little League home run. Unbelievable. Two errors on the play. Phillies lead 2-0.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than beating yourself when you go out there and compete, right? I don't care what level we're talking about. You go out and you compete, there's nothing worse than beating yourself. The Diamondbacks committed two errors, hit into four double plays, and by the way, their trade deadline bullpen right now has been unimpressive. It just has been. Or as Sean Connery would say, I'm not impressed.
Things broke down on us in the eighth inning. I know it wasn't pristine. We played good brand of baseball here, and we're going to address some of those concerns and make sure that we don't do it again. You don't see it here very often, and I'm proud of that. These guys are usually picking up the baseball and doing a very good job, and we're going to make sure that we address some of those needs.
I totally agree with that right there.
This is a great defensive team.
It is. This is a great defensive team, and they have been for most of the year. And it was so funny, with all that said, all the fact that they committed two errors and hit into four double plays on the night in their bullpen has not been that impressive right now, although I'm not willing to panic and jump overboard. I'm not going to do that yet because I still believe there's a lot of baseball left, and before it's over, that bullpen will indeed be elite, even though it's balked a couple of times here in the last 2 weeks. And all of that being considered, and yet when they had Escobar at the dish trailing 5-2 in the eighth with two on, I fully expected them to pull this game out of the fire. I really did. That's how resilient they have been for the most part, I would say, especially post-All-Star break. Just resilient. Not great, but right down to Zach Greinke and what we saw from Zach Greinke early on in this game. Are you kidding me right now?
The
definition of fighting yourself.
There were so many things in this game, but I stare down Jake Diekman. If you didn't see it last night, or if you love your D-backs, but man, you're a hardworking guy, and you have to go to bed early, and you don't get to see the end of games a lot, and then now you're getting up and going to work, or you're already in the car. He comes into the game after Greinke, to Wolf's point, goes 7 innings and gives up only a solo home run, and he comes in the 8th. His line is one third of an inning pitched, 4 runs. He walks in and gives up the bunt home run. Technically, it is a 3-base error on him, Diekman, for picking up the ball and spiking it on his throw. And it was one of the more unathletic plays. Either he's a terrible athlete or that was the definition of a choke. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't like to say a player choked when I don't know them.
Right.
But that was a choke. That was, oh my gosh, I'm in a pennant race and something's going on. I can't handle the pressure of this moment. I'm a bad defender. I don't know what was going on in his head, but when you look that unathletic, that's something's going on in your head.
He's looked that way since he actually showed up.
Yeah.
He seems stiff to me and mechanical. And again, Basinonians, he's a pitcher, right? He doesn't have to be this great athlete. Isn't that right, Rick Russell? He doesn't have to be some guy that is this great athlete. He doesn't, but it looks like to me, and this is, I don't know Jake Diekman, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, above all else, I want to be fair. I want to be fair. I'd rather be fair to people than right or wrong. Don't even care. But I want to be fair. It looks like to me he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders when he takes the ball.
And this is one of those things where there's no coach, there's no manager, but I'm going to steal your story and just ask Jake Diekman straight out. Do you want to fight? I mean, do you have any fight in you? This is high-level competition, and mentally you're not checked in. You're not engaged in this right now. To have that kind of a play, and then after you do that, you compound it with the biggest mental error possible.
Bunted, threw the ball down the line. Didn't back up. Yeah.
Didn't back up. I mean, you sat there and felt sorry for yourself. And didn't back up third, which is your only job after that choke job, is to back up third. You not only don't do that. Now, Sousa, calm down. You can't make that ridiculous throw, but at least it's a hustle mistake. And then after that, after the Little League home run, and please underline Little League, walk single, walk double. That was your idea of competing. And that was so atrocious for spring training. That was a bad outing in March. This is August in a pennant race of which you haven't contributed yet. You got to stand up and decide, do I have this in me? Somehow you got to this level. So deep down inside, if you want to be logical, you know the answer is yes. There had to be very few athletes. They're so gifted naturally. They walk in and dominate at a professional level. Something happened along the way that you had to overcome. So we know Diekman's got something or he wouldn't be here.
Oh, there's no doubt about
it. But right now, it's not there.
No, absolutely. Once again, so far the bullpen, the guys acquired at the deadline, just they really have not been that impressive. Matt Andrews has not been a guy that is very impressive, right? Jake Diekman as well, and even Brad Ziegler, Zignasty, we absolutely love him right now. Listen, he's been roughed up a bit, right? But I'm not worried about him at all. I think Zignasty's going to figure this thing out, and he's going to do it quickly, right? But overall, once again, this elite bullpen has been anything but, really. And honestly, if in fact this team is going to compete down the stretch, I think we'd all agree that bullpen has got to be the strength. They doubled down on the strength of that bullpen at the trade deadline, right? And went out and tried to make it elite. And I totally applaud Mike Hazen for doing that. The strategy, I think, is brilliant. If you can't get a starter, if you can't get another arm in the rotation, why not double down on something that's been a strength and try to make it elite, something special so that they can go ahead and supplant some innings from starters and take those innings and eat it up at the bullpen and do it at a high level. But if, in fact, that's going to happen, that means that Andrews has got a pitch like he's capable, and so does Jake Diekman.
And even though you already heard it once, I want to play it for you again, because just feel when Torrey Lovello says around here, he's not trying to take a shot at the Rangers. He's not trying to take a shot at any organization, I guarantee you. But whenever you say that, you are referring to people that are new to the organization, and we need to set the tone with those people now.
Things broke down on us in the eighth inning. I know it wasn't pristine. We play good brand of baseball here, and you know, we're going to address some of those concerns. And
we play a good brand of baseball here. That's, you don't say that if it's the same 25-man roster all the way through. You say that when newcomers aren't getting it done.
You know, I can't stand the, what was it? What was the song? The Counting Crows, whatever it was. Round here, right? Whatever it was. Boy, that was weird. that just felt good, though, getting that out there. Round here. Get a buzz or something. You might want to buzz it up.
I could, but I kind of like watching you just hang out to dry.
Was it Counting Crows? Was that the name of the band? I'm not a big fan, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not at all, but it went in around here. Something like that.
Anything else you want to do? You're good. Okay. I'll do the buzz later. I'd rather let you do that anytime you need to.
It's weird.
Yeah. Coming up next from the Octane Community Studios, Wolf will continue to karaoke. We'll look at Cardinals and get you ready for their preseason game on Saturday. Why are we doing it on a Wednesday? Because Steve Wilkes is. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Round here.
Cards Camp 2018. Continues to roll, and every time you're watching Steve Wilkes, admittedly, there is a little bit of new hope that you get from Steve Wilkes. And coming up Saturday, preseason game number one. You might have heard Maloney talking about it right there and talking about from a Sam Bradford standpoint. Coach, how much are you going to play Sam Bradford?
It's not a magic formula. I think you got to be able to get a feel how the week is going. And then most importantly, I think it's also based off who's in there, meaning the offensive line. We have a certain amount of plays I want to see the ones. I haven't, sat down and talked with the coaching staff. We're going to do that on Wednesday, talk about play time. And, he's going to get in there, want to be able to get some timing done in a game-like type situation with the receivers as well as the first offensive line. So, and it's going to be an opportunity for Josh to be able to step in there.
Very interesting right there, because once again, this is something that they typically do at the end of the week, right? Getting ready a couple of days before the game is played. They'll sit down and as a staff, they'll go ahead and go through a plan, come up with a plan for how long the number ones are going to play. And then there are number ones that may not play at all. And then there are number ones that may play half the reps of what everyone else is going to play. So they're going to sit down and have that meeting. I would imagine probably by Thursday, when we sit down to talk to Coach Paulie, they'll be ready to go.
I mean, how many snaps do you need when you only played week one in 2017? It's been a long time since Sam Bradford played. It's just, you can't simulate it in practice. And translation there from Coach Wilkes, he's not going to play if the first team O-line isn't out there. They're not letting him go in the pocket behind any sort of backups along the offensive line. But, you know, Sam Bradford admitted yesterday, he needs it. It is beneficial. He does value preseason snaps. How many? He said there have been preseasons where he's played a lot and then struggled to open the year. There have been times where he's played barely at all and everyone's wondered, and then they've lit it up and scored a lot of points coming out in the first part of the regular season. So I am curious.
Do you care to speculate, Bully?
I'm guessing he's going to play at most the first quarter. At most the first quarter. Maybe okay. Two drives and he's out.
Okay, I'm going six. Six reps.
Six reps?
Six is a hard right number. Now. They'll pull them out in the middle of the series?
What? Honestly, no. I'm just not a hard number, so okay. to speak, right? But it maybe the first possession. Maybe they pick up a couple of first downs, okay? Maybe if it goes over six, I think that probably is going to be it for Sam Bradford in game number one, right? Maybe if they go three and out the first time, maybe they'll run them back out there and give them another set of downs and see
one.
If they can actually – I think
I got two drives. One. Two drives. That's what I got.
One series. That's it. He's playing one series. We're done. No matter how long it lasts, you get one series. I really we're talking the Chargers game, which is Saturday. I believe it's 7 o'clock. Okay, it's at home, and I know that's the focus. I'm already going to leap forward to Dallas. Okay, that's preseason game number three, and the reason why I leap forward is because I find it so interesting the way Steve Wilkes set up this training camp that after preseason game number two, training camp, as we call it from a Glendale standpoint, is over. And they're spending all of week three, which under Wisenhunt and Arians was always a Glendale or Flagstaff week, to get ready for preseason game number three. They're doing it in Tempe at headquarters. That, to me, tells me the coach is saying that's the one. And so when I see that, I think Bradford plays a whole first half in week three of the preseason. I think he's going to play a ton. I think the starters, other than Bradford, are going to play a series in the second half.
Yeah.
I think he cares about that third preseason game, and that's, I'm guessing, that's why he's going there. So if my theory is correct in week three, that's why I say Bradford only won series in week one. Because he's going to be playing a ton later. To your point, Paul, he does need a lot. You can't go a whole year without playing football and then just jump right in.
The other thing you got to account for is the Chargers pass rush. I mean, the Joey Bosa's and Melvin Ingram's of the world and Brandon Mebane in the middle. That's the other thing you got to be aware of, obviously, on Saturday night against the Chargers. Because if they're getting off and they're getting around the edge. Now, Joey Bosa had to leave practice with a minor foot injury yesterday. We're not exactly sure of his status Saturday night.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
You're not going to risk that. But you're right, Doug, that third preseason game, they have set that up at the Cardinals facility to identically simulate as much as they can a regular season game week. And that's why they ended camp, and they're going to do it right from the facility. They want everyone to get into that rhythm.
Yeah, and typically that is the case right there with that third preseason game, as we all know, right? At least when you start talking about reps.
Well, I think you asked me about that last year, Doug.
And what plays – yeah, exactly – What plays will Mike McCoy call when he's in there? That's what I want to know with Sam Bradford. That is the thing that's got me very, very interested as well. How many running plays are we going to see? How many passing plays are we going to see? Are we going to see him if, in fact, there's a third and obvious pass situation? We're going to see him throw the ball and try to throw the ball down the field. How many shots will they take down the field, predetermined shots down the field? Because a lot of times you'll do what is atypical in a preseason game as to what you're really going to do in a regular season game. I know a lot of people, a lot of offensive coordinators. Now, granted, they were more established, of course. And when I say established, I'm not talking about Mike McCoy not being an established offensive coordinator. It's just the first year that he's here. But I've seen more established coordinators, guys who have been with the team for 5, 6, 7 years, where suddenly in preseason they'll do anything but what they're going to do in the regular season. Does that make sense?
And we-
so I. But now when you've got a new offense and you've got a new coordinator, you have to run what it is you think you're going to be able to do. Or a semblance thereof.
Because how much of what the Cardinals have done in practice 11 on 11 has been designed to give the defense a look? For example, we've seen a lot of naked boots from Sam Bradford. I've been shocked. You've seen rollouts, these half rolls, you've seen sprint outs. I mean, he's been on the run and on the move a lot more than I ever expected with that knee. Is that really a part of the Cardinals' offense? Is McCoy going to do a lot of that when they're playing games for real, or is some of that designed to try and give the defense a look? You know, and Al Holcomb's like, hey, I want to see some of this, and the offense runs plays to give the defense, you know.
Or if I can add to your point, are you basically reiterating what Wolf is saying? Are they going to roll him out on a lot of boots in the preseason to make everybody think, right, hey, we will do this. We'll start rolling him out like this. And then in the regular season, we see 1 in 16 games. Yeah. You know, and he never in a million years do they roll him
not
out.
Not having a boot, though, or a waggle, which is to the weak side, a bootleg to the weak side, not having that seems ridiculous to me. Not having that as an arsenal, as a weapon, of course, to hold that backside, especially against tackle zone plays. I
mean, having it, but actually having Sam Bradford run it.
Well, I'm with you on that, but at some point in time, you're going to surprise people.
Yeah.
You're going to do that. Surprise!
Madden 19 drops this Friday. We're celebrating by giving away copies every hour all day long. Just text Madden right now to 620-620 and listen for your name this Friday starting at 6 o'clock. Then one grand prize winner will score a console of their choice, PS4 Pro or an Xbox One S. Once again, text Madden to 620-620. Coming up next, it could be one of the greatest episodes or seasons in Hard Knocks history. And to start it off, it might have been with one of the most memorable speeches in Hard Knocks history. If you haven't heard it and you need a little juice this morning, listen next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's a Hard Knock Life.
You gotta be kidding.
It's a Hard Knock Life.
That's good.
Stat-treated rejection.
I realize you probably did not wake up this morning and say, how are the Browns doing? I get that. But there's a ton of NFL training camp stories today. But I tell you, they begin and end with Hard Knocks and everything that happened with Hard Knocks. And it started yesterday for us on the Doug and Wolf Show. Yesterday, Paul Calvisi came in for Paul's call and had pulled something that was just so interesting. And that was a Baker Mayfield conversation with Hugh Jackson. And it was odd getting to know the Hugh kind of way of doing things. And if you didn't hear it, we'll get into that in a second. But I want to get you going first. And to get you going, this is Jarvis Landry for Hard Knocks. Jarvis Landry has decided that it's time to get this thing going, and he addresses the team.
I don't know what the f*** been going on here, and I don't know why it's been going on here, but this, if you're not hurt, like if your hamstring ain't falling off the f***, your leg ain't broke, I don't know, like, you should be practicing, like, straight up, like, that is weakness, and that is contagious as f***, and that shit gonna be in this room, bro. That been here in the past, and that's why the past has been like it is, bro. That is over with here, bro. If you can practice, you can't get no better. Ain't nobody gonna get better by being on the sideline if you ain't hurt. If you not hurt, you gotta practice. Because you make other work even harder. Now they have more risk of getting hurt because you don't want practice. Because you being a straight up, man, that is real, bro. That ain't happening here. I'm just letting y'all niggas know that shit not happening here. I'm hurting, I'm tired just like everybody in this. But I ain't taking no days off because I can't be put that way. That gotta be the attitude and the mentality all the time. All that weak don't live here no more. That don't exist. It's contagious, bro.
There's still 5 seconds left.
Like, it's really contagious. It's contagious.
Hard Knocks, Jarvis Landry, wide receiver, in his first year as a Brown, coming from that ever-known hardworking team, Miami Dolphins, in the receiver room with the Cleveland Browns.
Boy, does that sound familiar, Basinonians. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard a teammate get up there and scream like that and say stuff like that. That sounds very, very familiar. That talk right there, minus the profanity, many, many times it will work. It's great stuff to your teammates. Maybe it's exactly what they need to hear, minus the profanity. Once again, not being a profane man myself. If it's genuine, the only guys in that locker room that really care what Jarvis Landry is saying are guys that know who Jarvis Landry is. And when I say that, his teammates in that locker room know who he is. And what I mean by that is they know if he's being real or if this is just Jarvis going off because the cameras are there.
It is a fair question, because if you remember what the Cardinals did in All or Nothing, Cardinals players were just simply told there's going to be some camera crews every now and then, and they're just kind of documenting parts of the season. They were very low-key on what was going on. But the cameras, those types of cameras, were placed in every position group, in every room. So you could tell easily as the year went by, you don't even see those cameras up there. It's not like a cameraman with a camera in your face.
Yeah.
So you knew they were there, but you forgot. And you didn't even know what it was for. So there was never a time where the Cardinals were saying, I want to pander to the television camera for this moment, because they didn't even know what this was for. They thought it was some kind of in-house documentation of the season. With Hard Knocks, it's the same concept in the sense that a lot of the cameras are put up in the ceiling and they're there and you don't have a cameraman staring you down. So you can forget about them. I don't think you forget about them in your first position group meeting. You know, it's very easy for an agent to tell a new guy coming into a team, hey, you're entering your fifth year. This is an opportunity for you to show the league you're a leader, and you're going to have people that's already thought about this before it starts. If this would have happened like in week three or week four, I'm 100% buying Jarvis Landry. I'm not saying this one's fake, but I am saying it's very easy to believe an agent told him, hey, you might want to think about doing something like this.
Only the guys, once again, only the guys in that locker room know if Jarvis Landry was in character or acting out of character for the cameras of Hard Knocks. But trust me when I tell you this, Masonians, understand this and comprehend it when I tell you this. They know. The guys in the locker room know whether, oh, this is just Jarvis being Jarvis, or you know what? Oh, my goodness. And if, in fact, he is acting out, if, in fact, he's doing something that he typically does not do, he'll be a pariah by the end of the year.
Boy, that's interesting. It could be starting already. Now, I told you about Baker Mayfield. This is something else you have to hear. Paul did the work on this yesterday. Man, it is fantastic. You could argue that Hugh Jackson is doing this for the cameras. I don't know. But number one, you had to have the subject matter. You had to have Baker Mayfield failing to show the level it takes to compete at an NFL level to prepare. I shouldn't say compete, to prepare. And that had to open the door for Hugh Jackson to do it. Now, I don't think this is camera driven only because this is such a vitally important meeting for the entire future of the organization. When I say meeting, I just mean conversation. I don't think you look at yourself and say, this is how I want to be perceived on the camera on this one, because it's too important to get this right.
Oh, boy.
Hugh Jackson, Douglas. Baker Mayfield.
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
I was a little bit later this morning.
No, I know. But no, what time do you normally come over?
Depends on when we start.
Huh?
Try and get in about 2 hours before.
Okay. Do you ever come in with your boy Five?
He does his own little workouts in the morning.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your own little workout in the morning? You starting your career how you want to. You see what I'm saying? It's a competition in everything you do, baby. You know how to do it. Why not? That would help.
My first, I don't even know where to begin on this one right
there's
here, because
so
first
much
of all,
juice.
There's so much there. Baker Mayfield saying he gets up and does his own little workout in the morning, right? I mean, just the it was condescending. Like, he gets up, he does his own little workout in the morning, right? This is so uncomfortable. This was like watching Bill Belichick at a press conference. It really is. It's uncomfortable. It makes your skin crawl. First of all, I have to ask. You knew, Hugh Jackson, that this was going to be on camera, right? You knew you were mic'd up. Somebody was mic'd up there.
Yeah, he's mic'd up.
You had to know this was going to be, you know what, Hard Knocks is here, and what? Would you really do it? I don't know. I thought maybe a phone call when you're not mic'd up, a phone call to a friend, and suddenly that friend calls Baker Mayfield and connects you to somehow, some way, right? All the subterfuge, somehow you're going to say this in private, even though Hard Knocks is there and they got the cameras and they say all access to everything. We all know there isn't all access to everything. So why in the world did you choose to do this in front of the world? Okay, maybe it was effective, right? I mean, think about it. Baker Mayfield, wow, hopefully this is going to be something he's not going to forget.
You can tell by the ambient sound. And listen, I did not watch it last night. I'm gonna get to it. But I went to the D-backs game. It was on last night. But this is you can hear sound in the background.
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
I mean, this is outdoor football field stuff. So the coaches are almost required to wear the microphone all the time. And this is now, obviously, what are they going to do if you take it off? Well, then HBO and NFL Films complains like crazy to the NFL. And then the NFL comes down on the owner of that team. Hey, what's going on here? But of course it happens. Of course there's coaches that take it off. Yet, I don't know, because with it being out there on the field, it seems pretty I'm going to say spontaneous, in the sense that he didn't know he wanted to talk to Baker Mayfield, but it's kind of, hey, come on over here. And when you listen to it again, just listen to how flippant Baker is about this. It is really It's embarrassing, and it's a wake up call. And you have to wonder how are you gonna take this, Baker? Or how are you going to accept the reality that right now you're in the NFL and you're not acting like it?
What time do you normally get up in the morning?
I was a little bit later this morning.
No, I know, but what time do you normally come over?
Depends on when we start.
Huh?
Try and get in about 2 hours before.
Okay. Do you ever come in with your boy Five?
He does his own little workouts in the morning.
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
Huh?
Where's your own little workout in the morning?
You starting your career how you want to. You see what I'm saying? It's a competition in everything you do, baby. You know how to do it. Why not? It doesn't help.
Say something, Baker. Say something.
And as Paul pointed out, the Browns fans in the back chanting Baker Mayfield, blowing up the ego on the one hand, while the coach is already pointing out everything's a competition and you're already losing to the other quarterback, which is Tyrod Taylor.
It was so embarrassing. It really was. I mean, confirm what it is your coach is saying to you. Say something, Baker. You've heard this before about quarterbacks being the first ones in and the last to leave. Don't act like you don't know what he's talking about. Say something. Wow, this is embarrassing.
I got to tell you, though.
If you're John Dorsey, you're embarrassed right now.
As a Cardinals fan, don't you hear that whole thing and you're thinking all the positive things you've heard about Josh Rosen? Now, granted, we don't have all access. We have no idea what Steve Wilkes has said to him in private, what Mike McCoy has said to him in private. But you can't help but look at that and say, wow, that type of stuff isn't coming out of Cards camp.
Well, Sam comes in with his own little workout, Coach.
Coming up next, it looked like it was going to be a disaster. And then Greinke saved the day until Diekman happens. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.